And I invite you now, if you'd like to follow along, to turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. If you're with us this morning, we looked at verse 2 of Colossians 4, and tonight we want to look at verses 3 and 4 of Colossians chapter 4. Tonight I'm going to begin reading at verse 2, and I'll read down through verse 6. And I said this morning that this is not just a transition to Paul's final remarks. This is not just a formality, these words here. But these are very important words that Paul is writing to the Colossians and that we need to hear as well. So let's once again give our attention to the Word of God. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let's just pause and ask for God's blessing on the reading and preaching and hearing of His Word. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for yet another opportunity to gather around your word. And Lord, we ask now that you would enable us to hear it as we ought, that we would receive it with faith and lay it up in our hearts and be strengthened and equipped to practice it in our lives for your glory and for the building of your kingdom and for our good. And so, Lord, help us to focus now, and please guide us by your Holy Spirit and give us ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us. At the same time, pray also for us. This morning we looked at verse 2 and saw that a persevering walk in Christ takes a persevering talk with Christ. We saw that prayer is vital for a growing life in Christ. And tonight in verses 3 and 4 we see that prayer is also vital for a growing church of Christ. So maybe we could summarize verses 3 and 4 this way. A growing church of Christ takes a church going to Christ. A growing church of Christ takes a church going to Christ. To be growing, you have to be going. Going to Christ in prayer. And that's why Paul says, pray. Pray for us. Pray for open doors for the Word. You see, Paul's goal was not just that the Colossians and you and I would persevere and grow, but that the church would grow through and beyond them, through us and beyond us. You see, life in Christ and life in the church is powered and sustained and grows by prayer. And so Paul urged the Colossians, and he urges you and I tonight again to pray. To pray with persistence, watchfulness, and thankfulness. And tonight in verses 3 through 4 specifically, to pray with focus. To pray with an outward focus. And Paul gets very specific here. He says, pray for open doors. Pray for open doors so that Christ would be made known. So that Christ would be revealed and be made clear. And that's what God calls each of you to as well tonight. To pray for open doors. To pray for opportunities for Christ to be revealed. To pray for opportunities to speak clearly of Christ. That God would open doors for His Word and make Christ known. Pray for opportunities for yourselves, for others, for the church to speak clearly of Christ to the lost. Well, as God calls you to prayer again tonight from Colossians 4, we see here that you are first called to pray with persistent urgency for Christ to be proclaimed. God calls you here to pray with persistent urgency for Christ to be proclaimed. Look again with me at verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Paul says here, here are some specifics you should pray for. These should be part of your regular, watchful, persistent prayer that he called you to in verse 2. He says, while you pray, or at the same time, pray for the advance of the gospel. Pray for the advance of the Word. Persistently pray that His Word would be proclaimed and declared. And pray this with an urgency. I wonder if you notice a sense of urgency here in Paul. I think there is added urgency by the fact that he is in prison. He's writing this letter from prison. And he says, pray that the Word would be declared, on account of which I am in prison. You see, Paul was in prison because of proclaiming the Word. Because of proclaiming Christ. And it was so vital that Christ be proclaimed that Paul was willing to face prison. To face far worse than that, because Christ had to be proclaimed. He was the only hope. He was the only way, truth, and life. And so Paul would suffer greatly to preach Christ. He would make this happen no matter what. Listen to some of the ways in which Paul suffered for the sake of preaching Christ from 2 Corinthians 11. Paul writes, imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. When the Apostle Paul asks for prayer to be able to preach Christ, he means it. There is an urgency and a weightiness to this appeal. This guy means what he says. You see, nothing else will save the lost. They must hear the Word. They must hear the good news. Christ must be declared to them. So do you feel this sense of urgency in his appeal? Will you pray with such urgency and with persistence? Friends, how badly do you want the salvation of the lost? How much do you care that Christ would be declared? Will you pray like you mean it, like you really want it? Pray this way all the time and don't give up. Think about if a friend of yours was injured and needed immediate medical attention in order to live, you would persistently and urgently find help. You would call for help. You would get them a doctor. You would call 911. You'd find help no matter what. Well, friends, the lost need much more than a doctor. A lot more than their physical well-being is at stake. And so call for help. Pray with a persistent urgency for Christ to be given to them. Do you not know often, do you often find yourself not knowing what to pray about or what to pray for? This morning we said, give thanks. You can always start by thanking God, but tonight, pray for the lost. Pray for those who need Christ. Pray that Christ would be proclaimed. Well, that's how you must pray, with a persistence and urgency. But who should you pray for? Who should you pray for? Well, second, tonight we see that we are to pray for those who speak of Christ. God calls you to pray for those who speak of Christ. Look again with me at our verses tonight. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Paul is here asking the Colossian Christians to pray for him and for those working with him to spread the gospel, to reveal Christ. He's asking them to pray for him and other men like Timothy and Epaphras. Pray for us. These men had one driving ambition, and that was to declare Christ crucified. Christ crucified and risen, Savior and Lord, to all they could. And Paul says, I need you to work with me, to work with us in this great work by praying. You see, Paul knew that just merely proclaiming the word, declaring Christ, was not enough. He needed the power of God. He needed the Holy Spirit to work in hearts. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, Paul thanked God that the gospel came to them not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. This is what he needed. And so this is why he asked them to pray. I think it's interesting here we see how humble and realistic Paul was. He knew that he needed prayer. But think about who's writing this. Think about Paul. Beyond Christ, this was perhaps the greatest missionary, the greatest preacher, the greatest teacher, theologian, church planter that the church ever knew. This guy had tons of success. But he never once relied on his record. He never once relied on himself, his own strength, his own preaching. You see, Paul knew that Paul was not enough for the church. He relied on his God. God was really, in fact, the church planter and the missionary. He was the one who changed hearts. He was the one who opened doors and used his word by his Holy Spirit. And so Paul asked for people to pray to God for him and for others preaching his word. I wonder if some of you have seen the bumper sticker, pray for our troops. Pray for our troops. There's a recognition that our troops need prayer. They're in danger. They're far from home. They're away from their families. They need the protection and care and strength of God. Well, Paul is here saying something like, pray for our troops. Pray for the troops. Pray for Christ's troops, his soldiers, his servants, those carrying his sword, the word of God, into hostile enemy territory. Pray for those who are on the front lines. Friends, this is what you are called to pray for those who speak the word of God. And so pray for your pastors. Pray for those who've been set apart and called by God to regularly and officially declare Christ. Pray for missionaries. Pray for Bible translators, for teachers, and pray for each other as well. I think this applies to any who speak the word of Christ, speak the word or speak about Christ. And in fact, as we read in verses 5 and 6, Paul assumes that the Colossian Christians, that you and I, will be interacting regularly with outsiders during daily life, needing to walk and talk in wisdom and make the most of every opportunity, acting as salt and light. And so, friends, pray for yourselves, pray for each other with persistence and urgency as those who speak of Christ, as those who have opportunity to proclaim the Word of God. Well, that's who you're to pray for and something of how you're to pray. But let's consider specifically what you're to pray for. What does Paul, by the Holy Spirit, call you to pray for tonight? Well, third, you are called to pray that God would open doors for His Word. Pray that God would open doors for His Word. Verse 3 again. Pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ. Pray that God would open a door. Now, what does this mean? Well, think about a door. A door is a means of entry and access. A door is a point of approach. What Paul is asking prayer for here is access, for open entry, for opportunity for the Word of God. Pray for open doors. Pray that God would open up closed areas, closed people, closed hearts. Pray that obstacles would be removed and new opportunities would be presented. Pray that God would give access to people and places for His Word to make its way in. Pray that God would clear the way. Pray that the Word would speed ahead and be honored, as Paul asked in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Friends, pray for open doors. Pray specifically that you, that others, that the church, that your pastors and elders would have open doors to minister the Word of God. And you can even get more specific than that as you pray for open doors. Ask God to let you sit next to someone on the plane or the bus who needs Christ. Ask God to open doors for you at work, to open doors with neighbors, friends, coworkers. Ask the Lord to open the door of your mouth, to give you courage and boldness, to give you the words to say. You see, God grows His church by His Word. So you need to ask Him for open doors for His Word. Lord, open doors for our church to proclaim Christ to new people, to in more places, to reach more with Your Word. Friends, I'll warn you, when you pray this way, you need to be alert. You need to watch for open doors. God will open doors, and so you need to watch. Don't miss them. One of the exciting things about prayer, this type of prayer, is that here in church, from your living room, on your bed, on your knees, you can take part in immense, significant spiritual work that will last forever. You can ask God to open doors here and all over the world. You can reach around the globe with your prayers. God is and God will open doors. It'll often do it how and where you might least expect it. And so pay attention, be ready, watch for these open doors, and know that God can open any door. He can overcome any obstacle. He can open any hard heart. So ask Him to do it. And don't be surprised when He does, but be ready. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, "Keep praying. And pray just like you would knock on a friend's door and beg for bread until he opened it. Ask, seek, knock. until the doors are open. This is how you need to pray. God opened many doors for Charles Spurgeon to preach Christ to thousands, and yet Spurgeon knew the need for prayer. He knew that God had to be the one opening the doors, and he had a way of sometimes overstating things to make a point, but Spurgeon once said, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." He recognized there was a need for prayer, for God to do the work. Friends, God calls you to pray with persistence and urgency that He would open doors for His Word. Well, fourth and finally, tonight, you're to pray that when those doors are opened, that Christ would be clearly revealed. Pray that Christ would be clearly revealed, that He would be made known. Listen again to verses 3 and 4. "At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." What exactly is the word or the message that Christ so earnestly wants you to pray that it might be delivered? It's Christ. Jesus Christ, He must be declared. He is the mystery, once hidden, once unknown, but now finally revealed in the fullness of time, sent to live and die and rise again to give forgiveness of sins and eternal life to sinners. But even when the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ is declared, it is hidden. It's unclear. It's foolish to the world. Apart from God's work, hearts are hard. Eyes are blind. Ears are closed. And so Paul says, pray that I may make it clear. Literally, pray that I would make Christ visible, known, understood, manifest to those who still can't see Him clearly, those who do not yet believe. And Paul needed prayer because it's ultimately God alone, through His Holy Spirit, that can do this. Pray that I might make Christ clear. Think about how a doctor, a good doctor, needs to be a clear, a good communicator. When a patient has a serious illness, that doctor has to make it very clear, has to reveal the problem as well as the remedy. And if that's not made clear to the patient, their life is at risk. They may never know the problem or the solution. Well, in much the same way, when Paul spoke of Christ to the lost, he needed help to make Him clear to people. They had to see clearly their problem and their need, sin and death, but also the solution, a Savior from sin and death, Jesus Christ. And Paul couldn't do that on his own. He needed God, God's help. It's interesting, again, to think about how Paul was perhaps the most clear communicator of Christ. But even he needed help, and he knew that he needed help. He needed boldness. He needed words. He needed clarity and the power of God to make Christ clear. And friends, the same is true for your pastors and for you and I as we speak about Christ today. That's why we must pray that not only would doors be opened, but that Christ would clearly enter through those doors and make Himself known. That people would see their sins, their need, clearly, but that they would also clearly see and believe in Jesus Christ, the only Savior and Lord. Friends, pray that Christ would be clearly revealed. Think about this. That is the one great need of everyone on this earth. For the mystery of Christ to be declared and made clear to them, so that they might see their need and put their faith in Him and have life. So that the mystery is no longer a mystery, but it's made manifest. It's understood and known and believed. It's made clear. And if you're here tonight and you don't really know what we're talking about, you know of Christ, but you don't really know Him, He's something of a mystery, then listen up. The reason why we pray for open doors to speak of Him, the reason why He is such a big deal is because apart from Him, everyone, all of you, all of us are sinners in rebellion against God, our Creator, not living up to His standard. We've not loved and served Him and others as we ought. Because of that, we deserve God's justice and His punishment. We deserve death. Friends, the glorious mystery that's been revealed is that God is merciful. And because of His love, He sent Jesus Christ to make Him known. He sent Him to live a life of perfect love and obedience that none of us can live. He sent Him also to take the punishment that we deserve by dying in our place on the cross. He shed His blood and broke His body in our place, as we'll remember tonight. And if you believe that, if you believe He is the only Savior sent from God to save you from your sins, you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven and you will have life. You will have hope and peace now and forever. And friends, this is worth praying about. This is worth going to prison for. This mystery is worth having it made known. And if that's never been made clear to you before, or if you have yet to hear and believe in Him, don't wait. Give your life to Christ. Trust in Him. God is speaking to and calling to you. Paul would have gone to prison and far worse for you to hear this message. Jesus went to the horrific death on the cross in order to save sinners. And so come to Him. Turn from your sin. Turn from your unbelief and be saved. Ask Him to open the door and be made clear to you or to one of your friends so that you and others might have life. Now, those of you who do know Christ, think about it this way. God has opened doors for you to hear of Him. God has opened doors to reveal the mystery to you so that you might see Him clearly, so that you might repent of your sins and believe this mystery, this good news. Will you pray that God might do this for others? Will you pray with persistence and urgency that Christ would be proclaimed to the lost? Will you knock on heaven's door and keep knocking until God opens doors, praying for all who speak of Christ, asking for opportunities, for boldness, for clarity, so that Christ would be made known? Friends, prayer is vital for a growing church of Christ. A growing church of Christ requires a church going to Christ. And that's you. Will you go to Christ and ask Him to build His church and make Himself known and open doors? And friends, realize that the God you pray to, the God you ask to open doors, is good at this. He is the God who opened the Red Sea. He is the God who opened heaven and sent down manna. He's the God who opened up a rock so that water would gush forth and quench thirst. He's the God who opened the hard heart of Saul, an enemy of the church, and then opened his mouth to preach Christ. To preach Christ to people like Lydia, who were told God opened her heart to hear and believe. And then when Paul was thrown in prison, God opened the prison doors. God opened doors for faith to the Gentiles, as we read earlier. God has opened doors in closed countries like China. God opens the doors of the hardest hearts. Friends, God is in the business of opening closed doors. And even now, a door to heaven is opened for you. A door to heaven is opened for sinners through Jesus Christ. Because God opened the doors for him to come. God prepared a way as he promised in Isaiah 40. Listen to what God promised he would do. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Friends, the glory of the Lord has been revealed in Jesus. He came, and he said when he was here, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." And while he was here, he opened the eyes of the blind. He opened deaf ears. And after the cross, he opened the tomb because death could not hold him. And so ask him to open doors. Ask him to level mountains and reveal his glory. He has, and he can, and he will. And even tonight, he is revealed and displayed before you as the one who was pierced for your transgressions, but who is now risen and reigning and coming again and caring for his church. Friends, this is exciting, liberating, good news. That those locked behind closed doors in their sins, locked and enslaved to death and darkness, living with closed eyes and ears, those barred from heaven because of sin can have those doors thrust open by Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, believe that. Long for that. Pray for that. Pray with persistence and urgency. Pray with excitement and expectation that the God who opens doors would do this. Pray that he would open doors for Christ to be made known. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you call us to pray. That you've opened the doors of heaven for us, that we might have access to your awesome throne of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you call us to approach that throne boldly and to pray with an urgency and a zeal for the lost, a zeal that Christ would be made known, to beg you to open doors for your glory, for the good of the church, for the salvation of the lost. And so we would pray that right now. Lord God, open doors for your word. Use your word among us boldly, even tonight. Use your word as it's pictured for us in the sacrament in a few moments. And Lord, use your word in the days and weeks and months to come. Make us bold and open doors for your word here and all around the world to your glory, so that Christ, the mystery of Christ, would be made known. Christ in you, the hope of glory, would be preached and proclaimed and laid hold of. Father, glorify your name. Open doors and be exalted, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.